The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Hello and welcome to our show today. In a few minutes, you'll get to meet Constance Perrenier, the vibrant powerhouse behind a progressive new hub near Seattle called Third Place Commons. Urban planners interested in creating community spaces like the Italian piazzas, only better, might want to visit Third Place Commons. You'll get to hear all about it in a few minutes. But first, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Bread for the Journey. You know, at Bread, we're a nonprofit organization whose mission is to find people who are passionate and excited about improving their community and help them make that happen. So what I do as executive director is help people start chapters of Bread for the Journey in cities all around the country, and then we help them maintain that chapter. And our volunteers who run chapters raise a little bit of money. They give it away to grassroots projects that make the community better. And you'll see, we'll be talking later to Constance Perrenier. She's at Third Place Commons, a recipient of a grant from Bread for the Journey of Seattle. So the principles written 20 years ago are still the ones we use to guide our grant making and our entire organization. So I'd like to share a few of them with you, and then we'll get through this and then introduce you to Constance. Number one, one of our principles is people before proposals. And basically, we believe that people are at the heart of generosity and philanthropy. In fact, the word philanthropy means love of humankind. So we meet people who are seeking a grant, and we meet them in person over coffee or a meal and listen to them tell their story. And so our grant selection is really based on personal interaction, not paperwork. Trust is another one of our principles. We really trust our ability to recognize recipients who are energetic and insightful, and we find ourselves being inspired by their dreams. And so our idea is really to trust them, to follow them and help them get what they need. We're community-based. That's the third one. So we're looking for people in a community who rise up from within the community itself and tell us their vision or a dream for a program that will strengthen that town or city. Often many of our supporters are volunteers from the very same community. Many of the supporters to the project we fund are volunteers who live in the same community. So donors have an opportunity to give locally and see the results. And plus, it's a perfect way for all the residents to get to know the many people who are doing great things locally. Another one of our principles is simple and fun. Our chapters are run by volunteers from their living rooms and kitchens. They raise money in a way that feels right for them. And when they have money, they give it away. It's really very simple. And we try to keep it not too complicated so that it can be fun. Nimble. We do not have a long, drawn-out application process, and we try to respond quickly to people's needs. So we like to think that we can turn on a dime if we need to. We're grassroots. Bread for the Journey is not just for high rollers. Anyone can make a difference. Most people think of when you ask people to say what they think of when you use the word philanthropy, often they'll you know, name somebody like Bill Gates or the Rockefellers or something big like that. And again, the word philanthropy means love of humankind. And so when we're doing grassroots neighborhood philanthropy, we like to say anybody can participate. We really think we're democratizing the idea of philanthropy. And so that's grassroots. And our last one is inclusive. We like to welcome anyone and support very diverse causes. We give grants in the areas of arts and education and environment and meeting basic needs like food, work, and shelter. We give grants to support programs that benefit children and youth, men and boys, women and girls, families, elders. And we're really working to create vibrant and healthy communities. So we like to see it, think of ourselves as very inclusive. So please join us. If you'd like to start a chapter of Bread for the Journey or donate to help us grow and strengthen the movement, go to our website at breadforthejourney.org, or you can write to me at bfjradio@gmail.com. That's B as in bread, F as in four, J as in journey, radio@gmail.com. So now I'd like you to meet Constance Perenyi. She's the executive director of Third Place Commons. As I said, a new kind of project that many urban planners are longing to create. As executive director, she's immersed in every aspect of running Third Place Commons, including coordinating over 800 public programs a year and a really popular farmers market that brings in between 7,000 and 8,000 people a week. She's an artist, a published writer, and a teacher committed to enriching the lives of others through creative relationships and community. Hello, Constance. How are you?
Oh, I am so happy to be talking with you. I am just fine.
Thanks for coming on the show. Well, my first clear understanding of the big picture of what Third Place Commons happened when I began to understand its name. If I was getting together with a friend, we might say we would meet at your place or meet at my place or perhaps a third place. And the Commons is often the name used on college campuses where everyone gathers. And so you put it together and you see Third Place Commons. It's a community place where everybody in the community gathers. And this one happens to be in Lake Forest Park, Washington, correct?
That is right. We are a community not a little bit north of Seattle. And even though it's a small community, Third Place Commons draws people from all over the area.
Right. So and how did, let's, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Our understanding of Third Place is actually, you know, first place is home. It's where we start our mornings. Mm-hmm. Second place is work, where we connect with all of our colleagues. And the third place is where we connect with community. And
that's great.
It is. It's inspired by Ray Oldenburg's book, The Great Good Place, and that is exactly what the seeds were for this space.
Name the book again, The Great?
The Great Good Place by a man named Ray Oldenburg.
The Great Good Place. I like that. So how about starting at the beginning and telling us how Third Place Commons was founded?
In the mid-90s, the Lake Forest Park Town Center was a kind of a deserted strip mall, not unlike a lot that still populate our landscapes. And nobody really had expectations of it being anything else until an amazing visionary developer took a look at it. Ron Schur saw beyond the empty storefronts and the empty parking lot and saw potential for a business that was near and dear to his heart, and that was a bookstore. And not just a bookstore that would offer people a place to meet, which, you know, I think many of us who still love actually holding a book, it's not just going in to buy the book. It's talking to people. It's having a human interaction around books. And this, in the 90s, things were really starting to change, and bookstores were struggling a bit. But Ron went ahead and built this beautiful bookstore in a mall that really transformed, started transforming when the bookstore went in. he had the vision, too, to create a space for people to meet outside of the bookstore, and that is the Commons area, which is a very large food court. There are he put restaurants in so that people could go and have a cup of coffee or share a meal with each other, and many tables, many more than you would find in a food court of the size that we have. And the real hub of it is a stage. And this was just, you know, his vision of how the community could work together around the bookstore and play. It really, the third place being very much a playful one as well. Great idea. The first year didn't pan out quite the way he anticipated it would. The bookstore was busy establishing itself and was so welcomed in the community. People were so delighted to have this wonderful enterprise that made them feel good. But nobody was, you know, nobody was scheduling the stage. Nobody was using the commons exactly as Ron had envisioned it. He was standing in line one day at the Honey Bear, which is a rather iconic coffee shop in the Seattle area that Ron had brought into third place. And he was talking to the manager at the bookstore at that point, and like, this isn't working. I don't know what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing woman standing behind them, a community activist from probably the moment she was born, overheard the conversation, tapped Ron on the shoulder and said, "Hey, there's a way to do this. We'll start a nonprofit." And there are these great apocryphal stories of how this conversation unfolded and how one of them would have an idea and run to the other one's table. The woman is Ann Stadler, who really is the founder of Friends. She had the vision to take on Third Place Commons and create a nonprofit, which was called Friends of Third Place Commons. And she pulled together all of the constituents in the community, people from the library, from our arts council, from our merchants association, to start talking about how this space could come alive and be used by the community. Before long, came a 501c3, and the board members were, the initial board members, the founding ones, were the powerhouses, actually. They were the ones who went out into the community and said, "Hey, we've got this great space. Do you want to bring your violin students and play on the stage?" They went out and solicited. One board member was a quilt maker, and her idea was to pull together other quilt makers she knew to have a show. It very much was kind of a Mickey Rooney, Judy Garland kind of thing. Wait, we've got a stage. We're going to fill this stage. It did not take long until it took off on its own.
Mm.
And today, we don't have to go looking. People come to us in the drove, by droves. It's amazing. We have always tried to say yes to everything. The only reason we say no is because we just can't schedule it. Our schedule's too full. Mm. Or something doesn't fit. We have always had a mission of providing everything free of cost to people. And the other side of that is that we don't allow enterprise to come in and make money from the commons.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were running a Mary Kay operation, we would welcome you to come have coffee, but you can't operate your business from the commons because everything has to be completely accessible to everybody.
Got it. That's a beautiful model. So the stage was really an important part of making this thing work.
It was, and still is. Mm-hmm. This weekend, we will truly have violin students on tomorrow afternoon from a little local violin school. And then on early Sunday morning, we'll start the day with an educational program about water. We work with the merchants in the town center very closely. And one of the merchants runs an Aveda salon. And it is Earth Month still, so they are kicking off a specific program to educate people about water in the area. We have many great natural beauty in Lake Forest Park and a couple of streams that we really want to keep healthy. So after the educational program in the Commons, they'll go walk the streams. And again, we're at the centerpiece of that effort.
Right. And so people can come and watch a performance. There's no fee attached. Uh-huh. So they can come and see cultural events, local cultural events. They can bring their computer and get Wi-Fi connection if they need it.
Yes.
Correct.
The county library system provided Wi-Fi for us a few years into the establishment of the commons. And so we have students, we have people who may work from home and just need to get out and be around people. We've intentionally not put in a lot of electrical outlets because we don't want this to turn into like an internet cafe where people just sit at their computer and don't interact with each other. Mm-hmm. It's very important to us that people have an opportunity to talk to each other, to at least be aware that they are in community, however they choose to interact with it. We occasionally will have an amazing performance on the stage, and there will be people sitting off to the side sending an email, and that's fine. That we consider that to be the sign of a very mature commons.
Can if somebody wanted to have a meeting with three people and they needed a little bit of quiet space, is this a place they could come?
Well, it's not always quiet. I have to be honest about that because it is like everything else in community. It can be a little big and loud, but we do offer a semi-private space named after our founder. It's the Stadler Room. It's a little glassed-in space close to the commons that people can reserve. And that is something we offer completely for free. We have language conversation classes, and more people are approaching us now. We've had French and Spanish conversation for quite a while. German came on board about 2 years ago, and I've had calls from so many people who want to do Japanese, Italian. Unfortunately, it's one small space that is scheduled to the minute most weekdays and week evenings.
Uh-huh.
So we accommodate what we can. There is that space. If it's open, people are very welcome to go in there and have their conversation with three people.
Got it.
Or they can call me and say, is anything going on Monday night? Are we going to be able to have a little birthday party?
Right. So if there's no performance on the stage, then it's more likely that they can have a conversation or a party, like you said.
Absolutely.
I'm going to interrupt you for a moment because we have to go to break. And so to our listening audience, please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to continue talking with Constance about Third Place Commons. We're going to talk a little bit about this bustling farmers market they have there as well. So please stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
On behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host. For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's BFJRADIO at gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we're here talking to Constance Perenyi of Third Place Commons in Lake Forest Park, Seattle. And when I was conversing with Constance in preparation for our interview today, she talked about this model being a collaboration between private government and nonprofit entities. So, Constance, I'm wondering if you can give our listeners an example of that. How are those three entities? How do they work together at Third Place Commons?
We have always understood this organization to be very much of a three-legged stool, and each leg is equally important in keeping us together. And we have been incredibly lucky to get support from the city government of Lake Forest Park. When we first opened, the mayor and the city council understood the potential of this being a community center. This is a very small community that doesn't have the resources to have a community center per se. And there has been an increasing investment in continuing our programs. We have a fee-for-service with the city, and initially sat down and said, okay, what would you like to see offered to the community? And we came up with a rubric of how many programs we wanted to offer youth, how many to families, how many to elders. And we do that in spades. When we fill out our service report at the end of each reporting period, every 6 months, it's amazing to see what actually, when it goes onto a piece of paper like that, what is being offered. And we work with the city as well in doing programs for them. We just had a wonderful green fair that they had organized in March that brought together over 22 businesses and different nonprofits to meet the community, to exchange information about environmental programs, everything from gardening green to recycling was available, that information was, and a couple of workshops. And the city organizes that, and we produce it for them. So there is that incredibly important governmental piece. Equally important to us is our relationship with business. We work with the local businesses in this small mall. There is no chamber of commerce in this little city either. So actually yesterday we convened a merchant meeting, a quarterly merchant meeting, for merchants to get together and share ideas. I often try to arrange a speaker who will talk about alternative marketing, how to use social media. And it's just a great way for all of us to work together. When we have our annual fundraising breakfast, the merchants almost always have multiple tables and are there because we support them as well. We have always understood that we could create a thriving business community as well. The people that we bring into the commons spend their money in the town center, and it's just a win-win for all of us. The third leg of that stool is individual, and we rely, when you talk about the generosity involved in Bread for the Journey, we rely on the same kind of generosity from our supporters. And the idea of philanthropy being huge, I mean, occasionally we will get a very large check from somebody, but most often they are checks for $15 or $25 when we do an annual fundraising letter from people who may not be able, who can't afford more, but really value the commons and use it. So it is really the three of those forces that have kept us moving forward.
And you are a nonprofit organization, and you use other nonprofit organizations like the United Way to support the work you do, yes?
We do indeed. And even the smaller ones, one of our partners is the local arts council, the Shoreland Lake Forest Park Arts Council. We just did a wonderful program with them. They use our space as well. So we support each other. We show up at each other's fundraising events always. But we also make sure that they know that if they want to do something, they can do it there. We had our first edible book festival. And at the end of March, it's always right before April Fool's Day. And the Arts Council organized it. We provided space and helped with the logistics of it. And we hosted for 3 hours these wonderful culinarily oriented bibliophiles who made edible books. And then we all ate them. It was really fun. And that was something that we did with them. We always offer them space for their annual meeting as well. We work with a lot of agencies, too. We are not a social service agency, and I'll tell you in a little bit about how we do this around our farmers market. But on a regular basis, on Wednesday mornings, we work with the Center for Human Services, which is our main human service providing agency in the area that we are in. And we do something called Playtime, which is this wonderful play and learn program for children from infancy to 5 years old and their caregivers. Many of those caregivers now, whether they are custodial or not, are grandparents. And it's been a long time since they played with children, if they ever got to do that. So this is an opportunity for them to come together in community with other caregivers and other children, have some directed activities, but also just be able to be there. And that is because of our connection with Center for Human Services, a woman who works for them who is really a wonderful facilitator, coordinates these programs, and I love being in the Commons on Wednesday mornings. It is so lively. You hear children laughing and adults laughing, and it's exactly what we want to provide in that space. And that, again, is because we have that connection. I see the Commons as, and particularly the stage area, as the hub for this whole endeavor. And then we have concentric circles that radiate out, and as they go further and further out, we get more and more involved in other community, with other community organizations. I've been asked actually to serve as a representative from the north end of Seattle on a King County community organizing project, which promotes drug and alcohol and violence awareness and prevention. And they invited me because they understand that what we offer is key to giving people a sense of community that is a large part of prevention.
Right, right. I understand that. I had a question about your proximity to Seattle. You know, I look at the list of things that you're doing in a calendar year, the list you sent me, and I see this huge, and listening to you, there's this wide range of things that are happening, and it made me wonder, are all of these agencies in your small community, or are there a lot of these agencies and organizations or businesses from Seattle that are, is it important to have it be such a vibrant place? Is it important to be near a large urban area is really ultimately my question.
That is a really good question, and I had never really thought of it exactly that way. I think our proximity to Seattle is certainly important. When the economy crashed, we had a series of workshops for people who had lost their jobs and were trying really hard to get back on their feet. And we promoted them. We promote our programs through the Seattle Times, which reaches, it's our remaining newspaper, and it reaches all over. And they love what we're doing, so they very often give us a little extra space. People from one woman traveled 60 miles to come to this employment support workshop. Mm-hmm. And we were blown away. We had no idea that that we would get this kind of response. I would say that proximity is important. I would also say that we are at an interesting place geographically that is kind of a, if you think of a triangle, we are one point of that triangle between Seattle and the east side of Lake Washington, because we are pretty far east, actually. So if we have two school districts that need to get together to talk about something, and they will choose to come together at Third Place because it's a neutral space that is between the North Shore School District and the Shoreline School District. We are gifted with a really good location, actually, for that kind of interaction.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. To have the businesses, at the beginning of your story, you talked about this being a mall that was really not doing well. Has the mall perked up with businesses as a result?
Has.
I mean, I presume it has.
It has indeed. And the mall changed ownership sometime about 6 years ago, I think, after we'd been in existence for about 6 years. And the new mall managers, say new because it's relative, but really understand our value and have invested in us as well. And we are in process of changing our relationship with them. This is Madison Marquette, which has, they manage properties all over the country. And this is actually one of their smaller ones and probably one of their more challenging ones because it's an old building and, you know, with its history, it's been harder for them to be able to attract national tenants, which may not actually be the right. I mean, we talk about this a lot with them. The right tenants for this mall are the ones that are more community based.
Right,
and
it seems like it's more fitting for them.
It is, and right. they really have been not only generous with us, but really interested in how we can continue to explore this. We were incredibly lucky because Ron sure helped fund. We have not paid for the space ever.
Mm-hmm.
Space was basically given to us to create things in. And the same is true with our farmers market. The Madison Marquette gives us space outdoors in another part of the shopping center to run a farmers market. Again, it's great business for them and for all of the merchants who participate and support us. Just, it is very, I never went to Lake Forest Park before Third Place was there, but I have heard so many stories. There are just wonderful stories about, well, there was a carousel there, but no one there to ride it. The kinds of things that just have stuck with people, but this has energized them and ignited their imagination.
It's a really beautiful idea. So speaking of, you know, having it become a place that people are drawn to, I was a little bit blown away when I heard that the farmers market that you added was drawing 7,000 to 8,000 people a week. Why don't you tell me a little bit about the beginnings of the farmers market? Is it inside? Is it outside? How do you make it work? Maybe just begin with how it all began.
You know, farmers markets in this area are incredibly popular, and some of the first really strong farmers markets were started in the Seattle area, in this region. And lots of neighborhoods have wanted to have their own. The community approached Third Place Commons, the woman who was directing it at that point, probably, we're in our ninth year now, so probably 11 years ago. We'd been in business for just a short time. And they were like, we want to have a farmer's market, and we don't know how to do it. So being the little engine that could, Third Place Commons took that on, and we opened the farmer's market in June, 9 years ago. And the first year was solid. We had hired a market manager to help who was very experienced and had connections with local farmers. The first year we ended with, I don't remember, I think $13 in our account, which is great. We didn't go into the red. It is now completely self-sustaining and has also helped support our other programs. It is outdoors. We have been given space, as I mentioned, by our landlords in an area in front of a building that's adjacent. And it is city is filled every Sunday morning with up to 55 at the height of berry season when we have all of our vendors there. We'll probably have 56 vendors this year. And it is because the community came to us to ask for the help, the community has supported us.
Mm.
Our farmers love it. They sell in many other farmers markets. And I can't tell you how many of them report to us that this is their favorite because of the community support. They've gotten to know people really well. They look forward to seeing their customers as much as their customers look forward to seeing them.
This is really exciting. I'm going to interrupt you for a second. I'm going to interrupt you for a second because we have to go to break.
All right.
And when we come back, we're going to continue talking about the farmers market. We're going to talk about this exciting program within the farmers market called Market Bucks, and that are given to people to spend at the farmers market. So to our listeners, please stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics. Strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America Business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business talk.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we're here speaking to Constance Perenyi about Third Place Commons and something very exciting that they're doing with the farmers market. And I was thinking as you were talking, Perenyi, that when you said, you know, it wasn't like you had this idea to create a farmers market. Really, the people in the community came to you and said, we'd like a farmers market. And it reminds me of one of our own principles at Bread for the Journey, where we sort of wait and listen. We keep our ear to the ground and listen for who rises up from the community with an idea that will make the community better, rather than us going in with an agenda to do something there to fix it. And it's maybe a small difference, but it makes a huge difference in how we work. And I think it made, for you, in fact, it made a huge difference in what you just said, that the vendors, you can't, the vendors are always talking about this is one of the most fun and exciting farmers markets. And part of that, you believe, is because the community supports it in such a huge way. So, yes, would you agree?
I absolutely would agree. And I, you know, we have witnessed in this area farmers markets that are the brainchild of somebody outside a community. Come, and they come in and they set up a farmers market, and it isn't it isn't successful, or at least successful in the same way ours is. We very much ascribe to that whole way of listening and responding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really powerful. It's a sea change in how it is we work. And I think it's important. I think when people rise up and it's their own idea, they own it in a completely different way.
Absolutely. And that also means that they can tell us when they don't think things are working quite right, and we listen to that as well, because they are invested.
Right. And often they do have great ideas. They know what's going
Very
on.
Very often.
They're the people you want to go to if you're problem solving something, or it makes perfect sense to me. So, market books. This is something that we talked about. It involves United Way and serving a population that's underserved. Why don't you tell our listeners what market books are?
We realized that the farmers market, as wonderful as it is, and as much as it promotes good health, wasn't reaching people who couldn't afford to be there. Obviously, I mean, it has something attached to it that I think a lot of people, for one thing, think that fruits and vegetables are more expensive, and in some cases they are. But the fact is, a lot of people couldn't afford to come at all, and would never even have thought to wander into the market, maybe even into Lake Forest Park. We really wanted to open the doors to anybody who wanted to come and shop. And right before I was hired, our board, which is a very progressive group of people, had started to explore the possibility of a food assistance program, a very direct one, that wasn't going to be like food stamps or any of the other programs that we do have, some WIC programs and some senior programs that are very administratively heavy, if you will. And we wanted to do something that would just respond right away to people's needs. We created this program called Market Bucks that provides coupons that are worth $2 to people who need them. And we are obviously not a social service agency, but all of the other ones we work with know who needs these. And in some cases, we work with the food bank. We have a local food bank, and we work with two branches of it, one on each side of the lake. And they obviously have people in their system, and they also know them well enough to know who would actually make a trip on Sunday to come to the market and use these market bucks. So they distribute them to the people they know will need them. We work with our local agencies as well. I mentioned Center for Human Services, and one of their projects is to manage a really wonderful housing area that has mostly immigrants and refugees. And so these are passed to them in ways that are very equitable, so that everybody has a chance to come and shop frequently during the summer. The most interesting one, we work with the senior center, our local senior center, and they can't really ask people what their income status is. It's just not a part of their policy, but they work with people directly, and they have a pretty good idea who needs the support. They also have a really good idea who needs the social experience of being able to get out and come to a market and shop. It has become very much a Sunday tradition for a lot of seniors to have these market bucks. It's their excuse to go somewhere they may not ordinarily go, mm-hmm. interact with people they wouldn't ordinarily interact with, and get good, healthy food. We track these carefully. Every single one of them is coded, so we know what agency they're coming from, so we can kind of figure out how successful that outreach has been. But we also know which farmer they come from, because we pay the farmers back. And our farmers are so incredibly generous. There is no change given with these, as there isn't with food stamps. If somebody's buying apples and they don't have quite enough to make, you know, $4 worth, they'll throw in extra.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just amazingly generous. But I was going to tell you this just warmed my heart in so many ways. The very first market buck that was used, and this program is now, we've did our pilot program about 6 years ago, and so we are now entering our sixth year of the program regularly. The very first time that somebody, the market buck from the senior center, they bought a jar of hot pepper jelly. And it just delighted me because this was something that I'm sure this person, mm-hmm. for one thing, probably wouldn't have thought they could afford if they were at the grocery store.
Right.
But what a treat. You know, they really, it was an adventure for them, that whole experience of coming to the farmer's market, going home with something that was an unusual purchase for them that ignited their taste buds. What more could we ask for? It
yeah.
really was wonderful.
When what we're looking for are things that enrich people's lives, then that becomes a very important marker.
It does.
Yeah,
I understand.
How is it that you heard about Bread for the Journey of Seattle? And tell us a little bit about that funding process.
Well, I mentioned the Senior Center a second ago, and one of our board members is a program director at the Senior Center. I was lamenting the fact that some of the United Way money that we were going to get for the year for the farmers market didn't come in until early July, and that there would be a funding gap. The market opens in May. We get the market bucks out before the end of May so that people can start using them when more produce comes in. So there was a gap. We didn't know how we were going to be able to pay for these. And I asked her if she had any ideas. And our local Bread for the Journey had just done a project with the Senior Center. And she was so impressed by people's willingness to come on a day off and help with a project that needed to be done. They helped with some gardening that had been neglected for a long time. And she was so impressed by how wonderful they were to the volunteers who were there from the Senior Center to help with the project, and just how responsive they seemed. And she said, you know, they might be able to help you with this, and at least they'd be interested in the project. So she gave me the contact name for the local Seattle chapter head, and I spoke with him on the phone. He was completely intrigued and said, you know, I think this really fits our mission, and asked me just to send him a little bit more information. And it is the easiest experience I've ever had. I felt heard. I didn't have to submit volumes of paperwork, which I do for every other grant I apply for. It was just basically a description of what we needed in an email so that he could share it with other chapter members.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew within a couple of days that we would have that gap filled. It was just wonderful. And so not only did that ease my mind, I've really taken this program on very personally, actually. I am so devoted to it. And the thought of those few months not being available to people just broke my heart. And all of a sudden, it was taken care of. It was
so beautiful.
Easy.
It's a great story to hear. I didn't know the story, and it exactly fits the guidelines of what it is Bread for the Journey is all about. I'm happy to hear this. It was really great. So we only have a few minutes left, and I'm wondering if you might tell us a little bit about the future. Are there any things that you have on the horizon that you're looking forward to, that you'll be creating here in the next short while?
Well, as I mentioned, our market opens, which is always just a wonderful experience. I've just applied a different kind of grant process altogether to our local cultural funding organization to have more music at the market. We welcome buskers, which, you know, we want to continue to do. But last summer, I had a little extra funding and was able to bring in, we were doing a Music of the Americas series in the Commons. And we wanted to try to see what would happen if we actually did it outdoors. And one day, we had a Peruvian band play all day long. People were ecstatic, as were our vendors. There was a buzz and this excitement through the market. And then the next time, it was a family that does French-Canadian music, and one of them does step dancing, and we have wonderful photographs of her teaching children at the market how to dance. So that is what I am really looking forward to. I have every confidence that we will get an award for this. And by July, I'll be able to start doing some of the music programming outdoors.
That's a really exciting part. You said all day. Does the farmers market go all day long?
It's 5 hours. We open at 11 and close at 4. And it feels like all day. I mean, it's an intense. We know when there are waves of people. We know if there is a big football game. When we get into the fall, we may have a little bit of drop-off for a few hours, and then it picks up again. I think going to the farmers market is such a part of people's Sundays.
Yeah.
And I see people in other parts of town sometimes who are like, when does the market open? So it's a big deal for us. It's pretty exciting, I think, for the whole community.
Yeah, and it's a food-only farmers market, so you don't
it
have
is.
Booths
we
doing
really,
crafts.
That was a choice we made early on. We do one day in the summer that is a crafts festival as well. We expand towards Lake Forest Park City Hall and invite crafters. We are jurying this year because we've had so much interest in that. And I wanted to mention, too, that we have two indoor markets when we get closer to the holidays, and Seattle weather starts changing pretty drastically around the time we close. And we have one right before Thanksgiving so that people can come. And we don't have all of our farmers. A lot of our farmers are pretty much finished by October. But the ones who have greens or apples or whatever they have, they bring. And we set up in the commons. And we do a crafts fair so people can shop for the holidays locally downstairs. We do this also in December before the winter holidays. And it is just, it's really fun. We have music on the stage. If I get the grant funding, we will have the Dickens carolers come to sing for the winter holiday one. It's just another opportunity for people to prepare for their celebrations and community.
So we're getting close to closing time, and I want to make sure our listeners know how to reach you if they'd like to contribute or if they'd like to attend and find out what the activities are that you have and your location. So how do they find you on the web?
We are at www.thirdplacecommons, all spelled out for your convenience, .org. And there will be email contacts on there as well. I would love to hear from people. And one of the things that we really love doing are talking to people who are interested in doing something like this in their own community. We recognize that we have had a unique and very, very special arrangement. But there are ways, even if you don't have a wonderful visionary person like Ron Scher or even our current landlords, there are ways, and we are so happy to help people think about how they might be able to develop a third place in their own community.
Yeah, I had a lot of ideas popping about my own community because I've longed for it after reading Parker Palmer's book about Healing the Heart of Democracy, where he talks about this being a place to revive community democracy, which I love.
We strongly believe that, too.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Constance. I appreciate you taking the time to do the show today. It was really fun for me. And I hope you're welcome. I hope it was as much fun for you, our listeners, as well. So Bread for the Journey, as you know, is a nonprofit organization, and we could always use your support. We can't make it without you, if you want to know the truth. If you find a place in your heart to make a financial contribution, or if you'd like to start a chapter of Bread for the Journey in your town, please go to our website at breadforthejourney.org. I believe that if we all pitch in a little bit, we can change the world. And I close today, as I do every show, with this. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.